We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now as we begin a study of the book of Luke, which you have inspired. And we pray that you reveal the treasures which are hidden in it to us, as only you can do, and that you prepare our hearts to receive what you have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, those things which are believed among us. We'd like to read the whole text this morning to start out with, and then go back and look at some of the details which the Holy Spirit reveals to us. So Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 1 through 4. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So a few facts, first of all, about Luke. Luke was a Gentile. He was a physician, and he was very close to Paul and Mark. Luke is called the beloved physician in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. And we hear of Luke again then mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, which read this way, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." So Luke was with Paul during his final imprisonment, and it's possible that he also witnessed Paul's execution. Luke is mentioned along with Mark, and as we mentioned, Luke and Mark were very close to Paul. Luke wrote two books in Scripture, the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. The Gospel of Luke is a long book, 24 chapters, and the book of Acts is 28 chapters. So they're long books, both written by Luke, a Gentile. It's very important to remember that Luke had a close connection with both Paul and Mark. And probably Mark's gospel had already been written by the time Luke took his pen in hand. And the gospels in the order as we have them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke spoke with many eyewitnesses. And in the book of Acts, often he uses the pronoun we, which means others were with him when things happened. There are secret signatures in the book of Luke, as there are in all the gospels. He didn't parade his medical learning before the reader, but he makes reference to them many times with his accurate remarks about medical matters and diseases. And one of the secret signatures is in Luke chapter 22, verse 50. In Luke 22, verse 50, he mentions the right ear of Malchus the high priest that had been cut off by Peter in Gethsemane. Luke 22, verse 50 reads this way, "And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear." Now, Luke is the only one that mentions that it was the right ear of Malchus that was cut off. The others do not mention it. They just talk about the ear being cut off. Why would Luke mention the right ear? Well, he'd mention it because he's a physician. And he would be interested in that. And here's an indication that Luke actually examined the ear that had been cut off, Malchus's right ear. Malchus was a convert. He was a servant of the high priest, but he repented of his sin, and he converted, and he ended up being a follower of Jesus. Luke undoubtedly met him and examined the right ear. We all know the story of the walk to Emmaus, where two believers in Jesus, and this is on Easter morning, but they didn't know about the resurrection yet. They were walking to Emmaus, and they were downcast, and Jesus appeared to them. They didn't recognize him. He came up and started talking with them, and Luke mentions this, the walk to Emmaus, in chapter 24. And in chapter 24, Luke says this, "Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And then later on in the chapter, Luke 24, verse 18, he says this, "One of them," one of the men who were going, the two going up there, "one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which have come to pass there in these days?" So he mentions that one of the two men was Cleopas. The question would be, who was the other one? And we believe it was Luke. It's one of these secret signatures in the Bible. And Luke reveals all the details without actually saying he was there. So we look now at the opening verses in Luke chapter 1. Verse 1, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us." So Theophilus already knew many of the stories about Jesus, because a lot of people were writing about this. And Luke intended to give him a more exact and reliable account of what had transpired, because at this point when Luke wrote to Theophilus, Theophilus was not a true believer. He was skeptical. He knew some of the facts, but he didn't really believe them, and he was skeptical. By the time we get to the book of Acts, he's been converted. But he's not converted when Luke wrote his gospel for him. So those who know the Greek language very well tell us that this is beautiful Greek that Luke has written here, and it's one of the most beautiful sections that they've seen, even among heathen writers. They claim that in the original, it's extremely beautiful, and that it can't possibly be translated that way into other languages. You don't get the real beauty of it. And that's very, very possible. However, we also know that at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit gave the apostles the ability to speak in foreign languages, so the gospel did go to foreign languages also. So we don't have to be feeling sad about the fact that we may not be able to have the original manuscripts and read Hebrew and Greek. The translations have the blessing of the Holy Spirit also. So Luke says, many have taken in hand. This means they were writing. And this is only natural. Many people saw a lot of the things that Jesus did and listened to his sermons. They started writing about these things after his resurrection. And the difference between what they wrote and what Luke is writing is simply this, that Luke is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And that's what makes all the difference. That's what separates Luke's gospel from these other people who were writing, the many, many people writing things about Jesus. And so the Bible is a unique book. It's written by the Holy Spirit. And when you study the scriptures under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, it changes you. It changes your life. So Luke is the only one who makes mention of these many different accounts. And it's possible that the Holy Spirit let him use a few of these accounts, and the Holy Spirit then inspired them himself. That's possible that Luke had some of these other documents. he has taken in hand, and they, like they did, they wrote things out, and Luke is going to write things out too. He's going to write to Theophilus. Both the Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts were written to Theophilus. That's important to remember that. He's setting it forth like the others had done, only in under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he's going to write about those things which are most assuredly believed among us. Well, what are the things that are surely believed among us? These are the teachings of Scripture. It's called doctrine. And doctrine is kind of a dirty word in our day and age in many of the churches. People aren't that interested about doctrine. They just don't like doctrine. Well, doctrine is teaching. It's the teaching of Scripture. And the devil tries to pervert this doctrine all the time. Clear, pure doctrine is very, very important to us. Our salvation depends upon it. So thank God that the Holy Spirit has given us a book where the doctrines are true, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So Luke is also going to make use of the testimony of many eyewitnesses. And eyewitnesses are extremely important. These are people, even as they deliver them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses. These people saw what happened. They were there. They saw many of the miracles of Jesus. They heard his sermons. And the testimony of eyewitnesses is extremely important. And Luke talked with many eyewitnesses. We'll make reference to this later on throughout his gospel. Then in verse 3, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. So Luke writes a personal letter to a close friend of his, Theophilus. Theophilus, at this point, is not a believer. He's skeptical, and he's examining things. And Luke says, you know, I'm going to write you an account. I've looked into these things. I'm going to write you an account that's accurate. I'll guarantee it. And that's extremely important. We could ask a question here. It's without question that Luke and Mark were very close together, and they both spent a lot of time with the Apostle Paul. More than likely, Mark's gospel has already been written. I believe the gospels were written in the order that we have them in our translation, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark's gospel is very short, 12 chapters. Luke, much 24, a lot longer. So the question would be, you know, Luke knew that Mark was inspired by the Holy Spirit when he wrote his gospel, and Luke was a busy man. Why didn't he send a copy of Mark's gospel to his friend Theophilus? Why didn't he do that? Why didn't he get on Amazon, find a soft cover book for sale for $4.95, buy it, and send it to Mark? Or send it to Theophilus and say, here's Mark's gospel, it's inspired, read it. Why didn't he do that? Well, he could have. But there's a personal element here. And a personal element is this, that Luke is a close friend of Theophilus. And he's concerned about him, and he has a love for him. And a lot of times it's the personal element that's so important. And this is why Luke is going to write personally to Theophilus. So the letter was written to a single person. And yet the Holy Spirit put it into his book, so it's really written to all of God's elect. That's how the Holy Spirit works. So Luke doesn't always go according to chronology. And the Holy Spirit sometimes writes that way too. You read Genesis chapter 1, and you got it's chronological. Day number 1, day number 2, day number 3, day number 4, day number 5, day number 6. Then you get into chapter 2, and the Holy Spirit approaches it in a little different way. He changes the order of things, and he starts with the most important, the creation of man. So, and you know, if you were walking down the street one day, and say you met 10 people and talked with them, and so you went home that night and you started writing it up in your diary, there are two ways you could do it, at least. One, you could write it chronologically. You can say, you know, I was walking down the street and I met these 10 people, first, second, third, and right through 1 through 10. If there was one of the people there that was a really close friend of yours and you hadn't seen them for years, and it was the ninth person that you talked with chronologically, but you might want to start right talking about him. I saw a friend of mine that I hadn't seen for 30 years, and you'd put that up first. So that would be arranging them in a little different way. So that's the way Luke does it. It's not always physically chronological, but he does according to importance and how he wants to write his gospel. So he has perfect understanding of all things from the very first. Luke was a historian, and he checked things out. There's a good example of this in Luke chapter 2, which is a very, very beautiful passage, and it's known to most every Christian has attended Christmas services. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Now, this is a historical fact. But many, many people for years doubted this because archaeologists had been digging over in Rome and that, and they hadn't found any decree like Luke mentions, and they claimed that Luke just made this up. And our answer to that, first of all, would be, look, this is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit inspired Luke to write this, it really happened. That would be enough for us. But in this case, God has given us even more. Somebody was digging over there one time, and they happened to uncover a document that mentions the very thing that Luke does in chapter 2. And so all of his critics had to finally admit, yeah, he did know what he was writing about. So, and he's writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He is writing to Theophilus. And Theophilus at this point is not a true believer. By the time we get to the book of Acts, he is. And he's writing to Theophilus for this reason, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. And that's important. It's important to us, isn't it? Is the Bible correct or isn't it? Are the facts in the Bible true or are they not? Is God telling us the truth through the Holy Spirit or is he a liar like unto Satan? That's the whole point. We've got to know the certainty of what we're reading and of the things that we believe. And this is where the Holy Spirit comes in. He verbally inspired Scripture. Now, as we've mentioned, this letter is from the Holy Spirit through Luke, and it was written to an individual person. The whole book, the whole Gospel of Luke was written to one single individual person. And the book of Acts was written to one single individual person. But the Holy Spirit put it in his book, the Holy Scriptures, and so it's written really to all of the elect, the bride of Christ. And this is our approach to Scripture here too. The Bible is written for each individual child of God. It's written to you as an individual person. It's the Holy Spirit writing a love letter to you as an individual. And then it's also put into Scripture because it's written to all of the elect. That's how the Holy Spirit writes. But this personal contact is because of the love that the Holy Spirit has for every individual member of the body of Christ, every single one of God's elect. So the point is that the Bible was written for each individual child of God. There's got to be a personal contact. And the contact is not through a synod president, or through a district president, or through a visiting elder, or through a seminary professor, or through a pastor or a teacher. The contact is with the Holy Spirit, and it's one-on-one. And this should be a daily contact. It's manna from heaven. And when the children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years, God sent manna from heaven, and they had to go out individually every single day and get it. God comes to us one-on-one. That's the important thing. And for each one of us, this is so important because our eternity is at stake. There are a lot of things in this life that we can delegate to somebody else. We're doing that all the time. We don't have time to check everything out. So we go to experts and get their opinion and take their word for it. We delegate all the time. Delegate if you're buying a new car, usually, and you believe what the salesman says or whoever, or whatever you're doing, anything, any contact you have in the world, a lot of times you can delegate, and you have to delegate. But when it comes to your eternity, you can't dare delegate this. The costs are too high if you're wrong. You've got to make sure for yourself. We're not playing for peanuts here. We're talking about eternity. Either an eternity of glory with Jesus Christ and his kingdom, or an eternity of suffering down in hell with the devil and his wicked ones. That's what's at stake. And it's too important to be delegated to someone else. That's the thing. We can't afford to do that. Throughout my ministry in the visible church, one of the most difficult things I had was to try to get the people to realize the importance of studying Scripture. One-on-one. A daily contact. One-on-one. And so often, the people just didn't buy into it. They're too busy. They just didn't buy into it. But it's so important. And you know, there have been times when I was tempted to do something. I never did it, but I was tempted to take the opposite approach and tell them, you know, if you've got a Bible on a table at home, as soon as you get home from church today, go and grab that Bible and throw it away. And don't you ever read it, because the Bible is written too difficult and in too difficult a language for you to understand. You can't understand the Bible. You have to have some professional tell you what the Bible says, but you can't do it. So don't even think of trying to read the Bible. And don't teach your children from the Bible either. You can't teach what you don't know. And you can't understand the Bible, and you can't teach it to your children. What you should do is send them to a day school or something. Have a hired gun do it. Someone who is specially trained to do it. And if I would preach to that, the people, what would be their reaction? And what I would hope it would be is, you can't tell us that we can't read the Bible. This is our book. And you can't tell us that we can't understand it, because the Holy Spirit will give us understanding. That's what I hope the reaction would be. I'm afraid the reaction would have been that they would have bought into it. But you see, the Bible was written. Luke wrote it to an individual person, Theophilus. The Holy Spirit, and Luke is a type of the Holy Spirit here. He writes it to every single individual elect child of God. And he does that because he loves us. It's a one-on-one contact. The Holy Spirit and you. You and the Holy Spirit. And in a family, every family is a congregation. The father is a priest, the mother is a priestess, and the children are members of the congregation. And it's the father's duty to teach his children Scripture. And the mother's involved in that also. So the greatest mission field in the world is the Christian home. But it's this one-on-one contact that's so very, very important. And the Holy Spirit has done this. He has written the Scripture one-on-one just for you, and then also for all the rest of God's elect. And when it comes to studying Scripture and teaching it in the family situation, you know, it's not rocket science. There are two rules, and I've mentioned this before, but it's so important. There are two rules that are in effect when you study Scripture in the right way. And rule number one is this. Always pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit before you start studying the Word of God. The Holy Spirit's the one that wrote the book. There are hidden treasures in it, and he's the only one that can reveal these treasures to you. So rule number one is always pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit before you study Scripture. And rule number two is never, ever forget rule number one. And if you follow these two simple rules, you're going to be just fine.